Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, my name is Ian Mackey, and welcome to the Sports Fiend. Hey, welcome back, guys. We're glad to have everybody back. If you want to call into the show, call in area code 516-531-9784. Now, you know, I'd like to thank all of Sports Fiends. You'll tell your friends about the show. Subscribe to the show if you're listening. Get on Blog Talk Radio. Find the Sports Fiends and click on subscribe and just tell people about it. But man, today, man, we got a couple of interesting topics. If you looked at the what we're talking about today, we're going to talk about who is the LeBron of the NFL. Jamal Charles made up an interesting statement, and we're just going to discuss it. We're going more in depth to see, you know, who is the LeBron of the NFL. Jamal Charles made some very interesting statements. So I wanted to discuss with my man, Vance, you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, we're gonna break down who is the LeBron of the NFL. Also, we're going to discuss why Jay Gruden has such a vendetta against RG3. Man, last year we found out, news reported by a couple people on ESPN and a couple other sources saying that Jay Gruden spent hours trying to tell Daniel Snyder, yo, let me use Colt McCoy, forget about RG3. Why Jay Gruden, when he was convinced ownership that he can make RG3 a great quarterback, and once he got there, he didn't want RG3. Also, Adrian Foster being out for the first half of the season with his hamstring injury, how will that affect the Texans? And also this other entertainment news, OVO Fest, maybe some other stuff down the line, man. So we're going to jump right into it. Man, all right, so, man.
Oh, yeah, man.
So earlier this week, man, Monday, actually, I think, was happening. Jamal Charles said he was the LeBron James of the NFL. Now, when you say you're the LeBron James of a sport, that means you're like the second coming. Like, you know, you're the man above man. You were like a phenomenon. Like, when you say you're like the LeBron James, that means like you're the next, like you're the next Kobe, the next Michael Jordan. Like, when you speak on that, then You got to be the second coming. Now, do you feel like Jamal Charles is the LeBron James of the NFL?
No, I don't feel like Jamal Charles is the next coming. I mean, Nick, he's not LeBron James. Unless you're going to have a player who plays offense and defense. An NFL player will never be the LeBron James of the NFL. Unless you're looking at players like Bell from Pittsburgh. I mean, unless you're looking at stuff like that, running and receiving yards, or
well,
punt return, something like that.
Is running. He does. He is. You know, he caught. There was no Chiefs receiver that caught a touchdown last year, but Jamal Charles, and he was the running back. He had all the receiving touchdowns last year.
Yeah, but how many yards did Jamal Charles get receiving for the year? I mean, it hadn't been more than 500-600. I mean, I'm talking about if you're going to be a LeBron James of football, you need to have receiving yards, rushing, touchdowns, punt returns, everything. NFL, you need to play offense and defense. It's not going to be a player in the NFL like LeBron James, because LeBron James is a do-all player. You can't, there's no comparison. So on that comparison,
I get it.
You get it?
I understand how you feel, but at the same time, I had to look up Jamal Charles' numbers, man. It made me start to look at, let me see what Jamal Charles really does. And then my thing is, if you call yourself a LeBron James in football, that means if they take you off that team don't make the playoffs, that team's a lottery team, and that team won't make a dent. But when you join that team, your team becomes an instant championship contender. Now, I'm not saying that Jamal Charles, you put him on the team and you become an instant championship contender, but the person I thought from LeBron James football, if it wasn't Jamal Charles, it was just AP, Adrian Peterson. Even though the Vikings never make the playoffs or hadn't made the playoffs since he was there, I don't think. AP just, man, look, when you put him on your team, you become something totally different. And I started to look at AP numbers and Jamal Charles number advanced. Jamal Charles is a problem. He had like 1,249 attempts, 13.1 a game. 6,856 yards. Carrying in his career, 38 touchdowns, 20-plus yards, 16, 40-plus yards, 19 fumbles. Then I looked at Adrian Peterson. I thought, like, you know, Adrian Peterson been in the league a little longer. And, man, Van, Jamaal Charles does a lot more. There's more receiving than AP. Not so much as carries as AP, but, man, Jamaal Charles, I see why he's feeling himself, man. I really do. I really do see why he's feeling himself.
I understand why Jamaal Charles.
He does it all for the
team. He is a dual offensive player. He has receiving yards. He rushes the ball. He scores touchdowns. But LeBron James is a dual player, offense, defense, everything. And like I said, it would not be an NFL player that can compare himself to LeBron James. It just won't be. You can't. There's no offensive player that's going to go on defense and have that kind of thing on offense that they do in defense. So it never will be one. Like I said, only thing he can just hope to be is the best running back he can be.
Yeah, so we got – but, man, listen, I'm telling you, the more I looked at Jamaal Charles' numbers, the more I was like, maybe he's not crazy. Maybe he's not all the way crazy.
Yeah, he seemed crazy to me.
I mean, he ain't all the way crazy. He close, but he ain't all the way crazy. Like, I can see why he looked at his numbers like, yo, man, I do it all. Like on offense, like, you can't – in NFL, you know you can't be the LeBron James because he plays great defense. So NFL players don't play both sides of the ball, not too many, but not enough to be the LeBron of football. But if he ain't better than Big, he's the closest one. You know what I'm saying? If he ain't, I quote a Jay-Z line, if he ain't better than Big, he's the closest one, man. He pretty much up there. Next, man, we're going to break down. I want to discuss more NFL. DeSean Jackson, look. With people quoting all these things in preseason, and I get it, you're confident, you worked hard during the summer, you built your body up, you did the right things to be great. DeSean Jackson said he can't be guarded. He said he don't care if it's Richard Sherman or Darrell Revis. 101, you can't be guarded. But guess what, DeSean Jackson? Somebody got to throw you the ball, whether it's and that offensive line got a block. So we can't really know how great you are. Because, guess what? You're a wide receiver. You depend on another person to get you where you need to be.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true. He's a wide receiver, but he is one of the best deep threats in the NFL. And I understand DeSean Jackson saying that if he don't believe it, nobody will believe it. I mean, but as far as the quarterback and the offensive line, the quarterback, RG3, is a good quarterback, but we can't see that with the offensive line he has. So until the offensive line get better, that will make RG3 better, and that will make Deshaun numbers be better so he can say that he's best wide receiver in the league and you can't nobody hold him. But for now, as long as they have the offensive line, as long as the offensive line is playing like it is, he can't really say that.
Listen, I'm against any wide receiver saying they can't be guarded one-on-one because guess what? They'll never guard you one-on-one. I don't care if you're DeSean Jackson or T.Y. Hilton. It's not designed for you to be on a man one-on-one. For one, the rules have changed because you can't really touch wide receivers. Two, they shade over the top. They have safety. They always have somebody watching the best wide receivers out there. So, no, you will never be guarded one-on-one. If you're an elite wide receiver, trust me, they will not leave you one-on-one. They may blitz certain plays to force the quarterback to throw the ball to the hot receiver, but you'll never be left on the island one-on-one all day long without any help coverage. It's like you'll never play LeBron one-on-one. You'll never play Kobe one-on-one because they'll always have somebody shading over to the other side trying to help. You'll never get that one-on-one attention. So I hate wide receivers saying, yo, I can't be guarded one-on-one. Duh, if you're an elite, no, they won't guard you one-on-one. Of course they won't. You're elite. That's the whole point of being elite, man.
Well, you know, sometimes you can get some plays where you get one-on-one coverage. Like, They double teaming tight ends. Some player killing, running back killing out the backfield. They got a safety got to come down. You get those one on one plays, and that's what he's talking about. One on one, he can't be stopped.
But that's
like
what,
I said.
But that's what when you're elite, you don't have too many other elite players on your team. You got AP on your team. AP don't have a DeSean Jackson or Dez Bryant. Now Dez Bryant don't have a DeMarco Murray on his team. So guess what? You ain't no one on one person no more. But guess what? The attention's on you when you the star. All the attention on you. It's like when a bad chick walk into a house party. It's rare that you see multiple bad chicks walk into a party. It's always the baddest one in that group, and everybody focus on her. Like ain't nobody focus on the fives or the four. Maybe if you drunk and you trying to finish your night off right, you focus on the fives or the sixes. But when that bad chick walk into that house party, that's all y'all focus on. So guess what? When you the baddest, all the attention gonna be on you, baby. All the attention.
Yeah, that's true. When you're married, all the things are going to be on you. But, hey, somebody got to go home with those five or six. So, guess what? They're going to get it too. But, like I said, she is right. It's hard to stop one-on-one. So, I think, can't nobody stop one-on-one? I don't know that. I'm not playing. I don't play defense. I can't tell him. But I know he is a deep threat, and it's hard to cover him one or two people on. Safety over the top, man under coverage, whatever. He is one of the best deep threats in the league. But they got to give him the ball, like you said.
Somebody got to give him the ball. Now, next man, I'm going to stick with the Redskins. You know, so it came out, Jay Gruden went to Daniel Snyder last year and spent hours on trying to convince Daniel Snyder to let go of RG3. Listen, you just got the job. This is what you told Dan Snyder before you got the job. This is the only reason you got Dan Snyder. I can help RG3 become an elite quarterback. I promise you, I can get the job done if you give me the job. You get the job, then months later, go to Daniel Snyder, I want to play Colt McCoy. I want to play Kirk Cousins because I feel like they can lead this team. That's not what you called me in an interview, man. You told them you can help RG3 get to the next level. Listen, I'm Daniel Snyder, and by week five, if John Gruden ain't become the quarterback whisperer I thought he was, I'm letting him go. I'm sticking with RG3. RG3 has done more for this organization in the last 3 or 4 years than you have done since you got here. Bruh, we have not talked this much about the Redskins until RG3 got there. Not when Jason Campbell was there, not when Rex Grossman was there, not when Mark Brunell was there. This is the most exposure the Redskins has got. Good or bad, whether you like the emblem on the helmet or not, or them calling Redskins and disrespecting the Indians. I feel like they should change the name. That's a whole different topic altogether. But listen, this is the most coverage the Redskins have gotten, you know, in a very long time. And you stick with the person who gets you getting you all this attention.
I agree with you that If they don't have a good record or RG3 is progressing as they see it, I think they do need to get rid of the coach because he came in saying, just like you said, that he wanted to work with RG3. That's how he got his job. Then when he get there, he changed, he flipped the script. He didn't want RG3 and from the start. He wanted a pocket quarterback. RG3 is not Andy Dalton. He's not going to sit there in the pocket and just sit there and wait. He is a mobile quarterback. And, like, I just seem like Gruden can coach a more comeback. So, I think they need to get rid of him. I think they need to get rid of him last. I thought they needed to get rid of him last year. RG3, like you said, he has made the Redskins relevant. Probably since they won the Super Bowl. I'm going to go all the way back because they won the Super Bowl. I mean, the Redskins haven't been anything since then. So, I think that, you know, a couple of years with Jason Campbell, but not really. I think they need to get rid of John Gruden. And it's just time for them to start over. Jake Gruden. I got Pete. Don't even know now. He's not even relevant. It's time to get a new coach.
Man, I just feel like this is why we brought you here. This is the main reason why we brought you here. And for you to not say, I can't get it done because we brought you here. That's like you said, yo, I can do this school project. I'll be the lead on the school project. Then when it comes to doing the school project, oh, man, I lied. I said I can't do it. Let's let's change it over. Let's tell the teacher we can't do the school project. We'll do something else. We'll figure it out. But no, the school project was building a volcano. If you can't build a volcano and you want to build a paper airplane, you're going to get an F. You're going to get an F. You're not going to graduate. And you're going to be back here for another year until you get it right. Now, man, we're going to stay in the NFC East, man. So I feel like this is what we need to stay right now. This, for some odd reason, with the Dez Bryant fight, with the Cowboys, the Redskins' dysfunction, the NFC East is like Housewives of Atlanta. I've never really seen the show. I've probably never seen one whole episode, but it's like a dysfunctional relationship, like a whole dysfunction, everybody doing everything, Stevie J, Jocelyn. Like, I know those names. Even though I've never seen the show, I know those names. And, bruh.
You mean Love and Hip Hop of Atlanta.
What? See, my point exactly. So, you know, that's the NFC East. And you want to wrap it up, clear the boat, that is the NFC East. Now, with Dez Bryant fight, we'll get to that. But the Eagles, man, they just keep getting rid of, they released DeSean Jackson. They traded Shady McCoy, who I like. Let Shady McCoy cook. Every time I'm going to say Shady name, I'm going to say let him cook, since you want to have his private party, even though you couldn't have it. I'm going to let him cook in these streets. And they got rid of Boykins, man. They just got rid of Boykins, man. And, you know, not to say that Chip Kelly's a racist, but guess what? Vance, he better win some games. He better pull it out from Jump Street. Chip Kelly wins some games.
Well, I look at it like this. I think Kelly is the type of person who won't control everything. And if he sees somebody that don't want to just go by just what he said, he going to get rid of them. Like I heard he had players had certain diets, you know, even testing if they was drinking, all kind of stuff. Chip Kelly, he does not want anybody that does not follow his rules exactly to the T. So if they can't follow his rules, I think he just try to get rid of them. Is he racist? I don't know. He did keep Riley Cooper, which I still don't understand why he's in the league. Both the worst receiver in the league last year. He was 151st out of all the receivers. The worst receiver in the league, but he's still on the team. Does he throw good blocks? I don't know. I don't even pay attention to blocking. I'm looking at numbers. I'm looking at touchdowns. I'm looking at yards. I know he is not producing. He can't run after the catch. Nothing. So I don't understand how Riley Cooper is still on the team. Macklin gone. DeSean Jackson gone. McCoy gone. Now he moved on the defense side. Just released Boykins. I just don't understand. But I do feel like if a person has any wiggle in him, he won't get rid of him because he just wants somebody to do exactly what he said, kind of like a slave master.
Listen, all I know is all eyes on him in the first couple weeks of the season. Listen, in order to do what you got to do now, in order for all this caution, the only thing that's going to make Philly feel happy is you win games, bro. You win games and you win them right away. And I mean, you win them with like a – I ain't talking about winning by a field goal. I'm talking about – pommeling boys. Like, that's the way the Eagles going to have to play the first couple weeks, man. Hey, it can't be no wiggle room. He can't go 1-3. He can't go 1-4. He got to be like 4-1, 4-2, or 3-2. Like, there's no room for error for Chip Kelly right now because guess what? When those walls start closing in, if they only won like two games, they're 2-8. Bruh, the walls are going to start closing in. He's going to fire offensive coordinator. Next thing you know, he's going to be out the door. Listen, when you make decisions like these and you get rid of really good players and you bring the players you say you want to bring in and make the changes and you got players in the locker room, because guess what? When you say those things about, you know, when players say those things, that ain't the first time they had that discussion or they say that in public. They say that in private. That y'all just now hearing about it, but it's been happening in private, low-key. If y'all don't believe this or not, players have been having these discussions behind closed doors, behind Chip Kelly back, like, yo, man, maybe he don't like us. He done got rid of DeSean. We love DeSean. He cool. He a player's player. You got rid of Shady McCoy. He cool. He do his thing on the field, but, hey, he get at the ladies out there. Like, players gravitate to those type of guys. Regardless if y'all know, it's like regular society. When you're in high school, the ladies liked the guy that the jock on the basketball team that was cool, that had a great smile, that everybody just gravitated to him because they had that charisma, they had that personality, and everybody gravitated to them. So guess what? If you're in that type of element, in that type of facility on a regular basis, those stars, other players gravitate to them. They'll do their best to help them. They'll break their necks. That's why people love quarterbacks. They have charisma, they got style, and all those other things, and can get the job done. But guess what? They love those guys. They come from that world of jocks to get the girls, jocks. People gravitate to them. So when you're in that surrounding, and Chip Kelly sees that, he wants people gravitating to him, not so much players. And he got to win. He just got to flat out, I mean, come out guns a-blazing. It's got to be like blowouts. I ain't talking about winning by field goal. I'm talking about like smacking bowling by like 20 or 10. It's going to have to be like some really big wins, man. Seriously.
I think as long as they stay competitive, as long as they win at least 10 games, he'll keep his job. I mean, as long as they make it to the playoffs, he'll keep his job. But like you said, if he come out and they go 1-4, people be calling for him to lose his job. Then everything, all the players that he got rid of, the people he kept, that's going to come into question. So he really put himself in a bad spot to me. If he don't win, if he doesn't win, it's still going to be people going to be saying things, but they're not going to get rid of them. There's just going to be little whispers in the background, something you don't have to worry about. So as long as he make it to the playoffs, he'll be fine, because winning cures everything. We know that in sports. I don't care what your background is, what you got going on, how many arrests you have, DUIs, whatever. As long as you produce on the field, as long as you get those wins, it doesn't even matter. So I think he'll be fine, but we'll see, though, see what his record says.
Yeah. Also, how you feel about that Dez Bryant fight, man? I feel that's always a part of training camp. That fights happen, getting the heat, you outside. You don't want to be there. You done worked hard for the summer. You done had your fun. Now you're out there with another grown man and all the jock straps, and you just don't want to be out there. And sometimes, hey, someone can touch you the wrong way or try to trick you and mess you up, and then all of a sudden a fight break out.
I mean, for Dez Bryant, yeah, he's just going through the most. He probably won't be there. But the guy he got into it with, that guy trying to make a team. He's trying to get his money. So he doing what he can, and he's just not going to, you know, Dez Bryant, he's not going to do that. He's going to stand up to him. That's to show people that he's not scared and he's not worried about what's happening. He's trying to be there. He's trying to make the team. He's trying to be a cowboy so he can get paid. So I understand why he did it, but Dez Bryant probably, just like you said, probably didn't want to be there in minicamp.
Like, look, bro, I already got my job. Don't try to hurt me. I just got this check. Like, I get why Dez Bryant was high. Maybe, like, the guy was being too physical at training camp, but the guy was trying to get a job. He's just trying to get a job. Also, man, Arian Foster out already, man. Already. First half of the season, they say, with the hamstring injury. Man, what about them Texans, man? Do you think they're going to recover from this? No. But first place,
I really don't know. Texas, well, they might not recover from this, because Texas really, to me, don't have anything behind him that even remotely look like a running game. I don't know. We don't know what kind of backs they have behind them, so we got to give them a chance. The defense is going to be there. We do know that. The defense is going to be there. So the defense will always keep them in the game. So they have a chance. It just depends on really who their starting quarterback is, because we really don't know yet. I mean,
ain't that always been the Texans' problem when they drafted David Carr? Ain't that always been their problem? Yo, where is our quarterback? Where, you know, this song, Where in the World, is Carmen San Diego? Where in the world are the Houston Texans quarterback?
Well, you have Ryan, we have Mallett. You know, Mallett might give a chance. So we haven't seen what Mallett really can do. And then everybody else behind Mallett is just a toss-up. I really don't know. Like you said,
listen, I'm a big Ryan Mallett fan. He started off in Michigan, you know, then Rodriguez got there and made him leave, made him go to Arkansas. I'm not a big Rodriguez fan, even though he's doing his thing down in Arizona. I'm just not a fan. Never was at a spread offense. I'm from the Midwest, Big Ten football, where we put the ball in our formation, play action pass, and hit you with that thing. Down your throat, or throw it deep. That's what we do, baby. And I've never been a fan of that spread, and I'm a big Ryan Mallett fan, so I hope he does well. And I really do.
Well, like I said, he has a chance. I mean, he has some decent wide receivers. Like I said, his defense is going to keep him in the games all the time. But if he can, get the starting job, and he play. I mean, he got Hobson, and I know they lost Johnson, but he has at least a couple weapons to work with. It's going to hurt him that Foster's not in the backfield, though. Because Foster can come out, he can catch a pass, and he can make, you know, evade defenders. So it gives, you know, extra yards after the catch. But like I said, we're going to see. Let's give him a chance, though. We got to give him a chance.
Yeah, he's got running back free agency. Maybe Noshon Moreno, maybe.
Yeah, Ray Noshon Rice Moreno. Hey, let's give Ray Rice a shot. I mean, Ray Rice old lady took him back. Why can't the NFL take him back? You know what I'm saying?
That's a whole other issue. So, fans, hey. I have two more issues, two more things I want to say before we get out there. Man, Roy Hibbert. Touche that Frank Vogel. He's like, yo, I'm just glad I'm playing. He had a coach then. I'm just glad I'm playing for a coach who played in the NBA. Like, yo, that wasn't the first time that was said. When players say these things about coaches, I want people to know that this ain't the first time it's been said. It's like when someone says something behind your back. It ain't the first time it's been said. This is the first time it's been made public. It ain't the first time players, Roy Hibbert and a couple players from the Patriots have said, yo, Frank Vogel ain't ever been a coach. How he going to tell me how to play in the NBA? He ain't never made it yet.
Well, just because you ain't coach don't mean you can't. I mean, just because you haven't played in the NBA don't mean you can't coach the NBA players.
I understand. When he finally get out to L.A., the truth about him and Frank Vogel's relationship finally reveal itself to me.
Yeah, but let's just see what Roy Hibbert going to do before he start running his mouth. If Roy Hibbert has a turnaround season and he, you know, average double figures, 10 and 10, a couple blocks, then he could come out and say that. But now, Roy Hibbert just needs to shelf and play basketball. Just try to do what he can. His last 2 years, really, it's like he wasn't even been on court. I know the Pacers want to go to this up-tempo offense. I like the big man, but really and truly, Roy Hibbert has never lived up to any hype he ever had. Not saying he had all his hype coming out of Georgetown, where he didn't do much there because Jeff Green carried the team, but still, I want to see at least 14-10. 14-8 would be great for Roy Hibbert. I think
that'd be life altering. That'll be a longevity in the league if he could just grab some rebounds on a consistent basis.
Exactly.
And last but not least, man, OVO Fest was yesterday. Vance, your boy Drake. Man, I got the drink gummy going back to back. I'm talking back to back. He was killing me, man. He had the mills up when he was performing the song, performed it twice, man. He did a charge up thing, man. And look, man, he did, and to quote 50 Cent, he did something real Philly. He had Will Smith out in OVO Fest, man, in Canada, man. Now that's Philly. Now he brought real Philly out there, man. Listen, at some point, we're going to have to do something. I mean, hit him in his mouth, sleep with his mama. Like, he's going to do something, man. He's going to do something to get back at Drake, bro.
Yeah, he's gonna have to do something. I don't know what he's gonna do, but he's gonna have to really do something major because right now Drake is killing them, man. I mean, he is killing them. I mean, he on tour with his old lady like Drake says, your tour, your girl tour. I just don't understand what he's waiting on. I know his disc to come back out that he brought out wasn't even worth anybody's time to listen to it. So he needs to come up with something better than that. His sister sister on the internet, this was better than his. So he got to do something. I hope he can because you know how stuff goes these days. If he don't come out with something at least halfway decent,
it's a wrap for your career.
It might be over for a career, but you know, I can't say that because, you know, it was a couple of years ago, Jay-Z and Nas, and I think Nas took that, and Jay-Z made it back, so
I think he'll be all right. I think he'd be
all right.
But
Jay-Z made it.
Jay came hard. Jay came hard with his diss. He came hard.
It was a little debate. It had some people debate. I never debated because I knew Nas had won it, but... You know, it was people debating like, oh, I don't know. But, yeah, so Jay-Z did.
To Jay's defense, he took out three people at one time. He took out Mob Deep and Nas at one time. Nas had a chance to dedicate his whole verse and think about, look, Jay came out with it first. So, you know, when you come out with it first, you're supposed to, you know, it's supposed to be okay. But the person who comes out with it second, and Meek had enough time to come out with a second to murder Drake and then do it. That hurt my heart, man. That really hurt my heart. I was ready for that in hip hop.
I was ready for it too. I expected more out of Meek Mill, but he needs to do something. All I know is he needs to do something, but like I said, how is it gonna affect his career? I don't know because hey, Jay-Z made it, but like you said, Jay-Z did stand up, and he had some good songs, too. I mean, he had some good disses, too. So, but Meek,
name me five dope Meek Mill songs, man. Name me five dope Meek Mill songs.
Oh, man, Meek Mill. Tupac's Back, Tony's Story, Dream Chaser, man, the song he did with Nas. I'm just saying, I am a Meek Mill fan, though. I really am, you know. Just let me put my hat on for a second. You put me on the spot, man.
Name me five dope Nas songs.
Oh, man. Man, I can name you 100 dope Nas songs. I mean, I'm trying to help Meek Mill out right now, man. I really am. Let me just. You got.
We're in overtime now.
Levels. Amen. I'm about House Party. Believe me. I mean, those are great songs. Those are great songs.
Amen. Who was on Amen?
Well, really and truly, I don't listen to Amen because it kind of goes against everything I believe in.
Bro,
so I kind of skip that song. Yeah, it's featured Drake.
Hey,
Levels.
Levels is nice. Don't stand the test of time.
Yeah, Levels is standing the test of time.
I feel like Levels and Amen
will
stand the test of time.
Oh, like I said, I don't even listen to Amen. But you're talking about Nas, though. Come on, man. You can go back to The Message, The World Is Yours, New York State of Mind, Life Is a Bitch, If I Go to the World. I mean, these are all Nas hits. And you can just keep pumping out Nas hit after hit. The Don, Daughter. Come on, man. I mean, Nas is like one of the greatest rappers of all time, so, and you know that.
I think some people feel like Meek could be one of the greats. I've never seen that in Meek. I feel like he could be more of a, I don't even want to disrespect any other great rapper by mentioning Meek Mill with them. But he could be like a 50 Cent without the hits, without like the big time, like in the club. Dr. Dre produced these. He could be, he'd have a career like this. Maybe a 5 or 6 year run. But not, he ain't going to have like a Kanye, a J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, Talib Kweli type of career. I mean,
Are you serious?
Yo, he's nowhere near Talib Kweli. Nowhere near. How long has Talib Kweli been out there?
Name me a great song Talib Kweli has put out lately. Name me three great songs Talib Kweli has put out.
Man, the
you
blast.
Can't name.
Wait. I just told you one.
What was that?
Just to Get By.
One
the
song.
Blast with Hot Tech. Yo, that was a unhancy, gonna keep on dancing. Yeah.
It was okay.
It was good. Yo, it was a classic. Yo, with High Tech,
okay.
Shout out to High Tech, man. Cincinnati, Midwestern is tight. Then you had Just to Get By. Just to get by.
Yeah, that's his claim to fame because.
Oh, bro, that was dope. That was dope. And then the one with Just Blaze. Doom. I never been in love like this before.
And he had a song with Bun B that was pretty tight.
Oh man, Tyler Farley is dope, bro. I can listen to his album. Yo, Meek better hope he can get close to having a career like Bun B. Yo, Bun B is a classic. Like, yo, Meek better pray his career don't end like Cassidy or Freeway. No disrespect to Freeway. Rockefeller, Rock Nation is like, but listen, Meek better pray his next disc is something epic. I mean, like, epic. I mean, like,
he just had to put out. Meek Mill just had to put out some good songs, and it'll be all right, though. I think so. We just know he's not.
Don't leave him. As long as Nicki don't leave him, it's gonna be ugly if Nicki leave him. Woo.
Oh, then he's gonna write some dope stuff. He gonna kill him. What we look like on that?
Well, listen, man. Overtime is over, man. We had a great show, man. We gave y'all a little entertainment. We gave y'all sports, man. We appreciate the fans, man. Van, tell them to subscribe to the show. Call in. We'll try to do more shows, be more consistent. We're sorry for the non-consistency to our fans who be listening all the time. I mean, who are listening all the time. My grammar don't mean to be so off. But we really do appreciate you guys. Vance, you got anything to say to the fans, man?
No, just keep listening, and we'll try to do better on keeping shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays every week. And good night.
Because on Tuesdays, Thursdays, you need to watch for the sweep. That's a hot boy
right
there, Guerrilla Warfare. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know nothing about that, man. Guerrilla Warfare. Vance, Juvenile is coming into town August 15th, man. Listen, Juvenile, SWV, Naughty by Nature, the Brat, bruh. I can't wait. I can't, because Juvenile used to be R-A-T-A down. Now I'll be busting it when I come around. I can't wait, man. I can't wait. I'm excited.
So these are rappers who are not hiding or trying to reclaim some kind of, boy, I don't get it. Juvenile.
I think we're getting old, man, to where we're about to have all these old head tours, and we old heads now, man. This is the next level, man, as we get older.
I'm going to miss that.
I like SWV. I can't wait. I want to see them, too. You know what I'm saying? The Brat, you know, I want to see them. I want to see Night by Nature. I want to see the Humpty Dance. Is you know what I'm saying? Do the dance. But I want to see
Digital Underground, not by Nature.
No, it's just him. It's just him. It ain't Digital Underground. It's just him. It ain't Digital Underground. It's just him.
All righty then.
It's just him. I mean, if they said Digital Underground, I would know, but it's just him. So I forgot his name. I'm sorry if I didn't get his MC name right. But it's just him. They didn't take Digital Underground. They just said him. So, you know. Now, I'm just hyped. I'm hyped to go to it because Chris Brown that weekend, and I don't want to see Chris Brown. I'd rather see Juvenile because I want to hear from the 99 in the 2000s, and I want to see all the old head ladies who in their late 30s and 40s who got bad knees, you know, back in that time ago. Man, I'm just standing in the background looking with my hands in my pocket. I got an old lady, but I'm just going to stand and watch them back that thing up. You know what I'm saying?
You at least got to watch.
You got to watch. All right, man. We're going to see you Thursday, buddy. We're going to keep the show going, man. Hopefully we have some more things to discuss, all right?
All right. Talk to you Thursday.
Talk to you Thursday.